Chapter 95. Did deliver. Apostrophe apostrophe said a little coquette with a large bustle, who looked like a French lithograph, appealing to a gentleman in three waistcoats did deliver. Apostrophe apostrophe, never, in my life, apostrophe returned her admirer, pulling up his collar. Oh, do let me take it, nurse, apostrophe cried another young lady. The love. Apostrophe apostrophe, can it open its eyes, nurse? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired another, affecting the utmost innocence. Suffice it to say, that the single ladies unanimously voted a man angel, and that the married ones, nem. con. agreed that he was decidedly the finest baby they had ever beheld except their own. The quadrilles were resumed with great spirit. Mr. Danton was universally admitted to be beyond himself. Several young ladies enchanted the company and gained admirers, by singing We Met I Saw Her at the Fancy Fair, and other equally sentimental and interesting ballads. The young men, apostrophe as Mrs. Kitterbell said, made themselves very agreeable, apostrophe the girls did not lose their opportunity, and the evening promised to go off excellently. Dumps didn't mind it. He had devised a plan for himself, a little bit of fun in his own way, and he was almost happy. He played a rubber, and lost every point. Mr. Danton said he could not have lost every point, because he made a point of losing. Everybody laughed tremendously. Dumps retorted with a better joke, and nobody smiled, with the exception of the host, who seemed to consider it his duty, to laugh till he was black in the face, at everything. There was only one drawback, the musicians did not play with quite as much spirit as could have been wished. The cause, however, was satisfactorily explained, for it appeared, on the testimony of a gentleman who had come up from Gravesend in the afternoon, that they had been engaged on board a steamer all day, and had played almost without cessation all the way to Gravesend, and all the way back again. The sit-down supper was excellent. There were four barley sugar temples on the table, which would have looked beautiful, if they had not melted away when the supper began, and a water mill, whose only fault was that instead of going round, it ran over the tablecloth. Then there were fowls, and tongue, and trifle, and sweets, and lobster salad, and potted beef and everything. And little Kitterbell kept calling out for clean plates, and the clean plates did not come. And then the gentleman who wanted the plates said they didn't mind, they'd take a lady's. And then Mrs. Kitterbell applauded their gallantry, and the greengrocer ran about till he thought his 7 and 6 pence was very hardly earned. And the young ladies didn't eat much for fear it shouldn't look romantic, and the married ladies eat as much as possible, for fear they shouldn't have enough. And a great deal of wine was drunk, and everybody talked and laughed considerably. Hush! Hush! Apostrophe said Mr. Kitterbell, rising, and looking very important. My love, this was addressed to his wife at the other end of the table, take care of Mrs. Maxwell, and your mama, and the rest of the married ladies. The gentleman will persuade the young ladies to fill their glasses, I am sure. Apostrophe, ladies and gentlemen, apostrophe said Long Dumps, in a very sepulchral voice and rueful accent, rising from his chair like the ghost in Don Juan, will you have the kindness to charge your glasses? I am desirous of proposing a toast. Apostrophe, a dead silence ensued, and the glasses were filled. Everybody looked serious. Ladies and gentlemen, apostrophe slowly continued the ominous Dumps. I hear Mr. Danton imitated two notes from the French horn, in a very loud key, which electrified the nervous toast proposer, and convulsed his audience. Order! Order! Apostrophe said little Kitterbell, endeavoring to suppress his laughter. Order! Apostrophe apostrophe said the gentleman. Danton, be quiet, apostrophe said a particular friend on the opposite side of the table. Ladies and gentlemen, apostrophe resumed Dumps, somewhat recovered, and not much disconcerted, for he was always a pretty good hand at a speech in accordance with what is, I believe, the established usage on these occasions. I, as one of the godfathers of Master Frederick Charles William Kitterbell, here the speaker's voice faltered, for he remembered the mug, venture to rise to propose a toast. I need hardly say that it is the health and prosperity of that young gentleman, the particular event of whose early life we are here met to celebrate. Applause. Ladies and gentlemen, it is impossible to suppose that our friends here, whose sincere well-wishers we all are, can pass through life without some trials, considerable suffering, severe affliction, and heavy losses. Apostrophe, apostrophe, here the arch traitor paused, and slowly drew forth a long, white pocket handkerchief. His example was followed by several ladies. That these trials may be long spared them is my most earnest prayer, my most fervent wish. A distinct sob from the grandmother. I hope and trust, ladies and gentlemen, that the infant whose christening we have this evening met to celebrate may not be removed from the arms of his parents by premature decay. Several cambrics were in requisition, colon, that his young and now apparently healthy form may not be wasted by lingering disease. Here Dumps cast a sardonic glance around, for a great sensation was manifest among the married ladies. You, I am sure, will concur with me in wishing that he may live to be a comfort and a blessing to his parents. Hear, hear, and an audible sob from Mr. Kitterbell. But should he not be what we could wish, should he forget in after times the duty which he owes to them, should they unhappily experience that distracting truth, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. Apostrophe here Mrs. Kitterbell, with her handkerchief to her eyes, and accompanied by several ladies, rushed from the room, and went into violent hysterics in the passage, leaving her better half in almost as bad a condition, and a general impression in Dump's favor, for people like sentiment, after all. It need hardly be added that this occurrence quite put a stop to the harmony of the evening. Vinegar, hartshorn, and cold water were now as much in request as negus, rout cakes, and bonbons had been a short time before. Mrs. Kitterbell was immediately conveyed to her apartment, the musicians were silenced, flirting ceased, and the company slowly departed. Dumps left the house at the commencement of the bustle, and walked home with a light step, and, for him, a cheerful heart. His landlady, who slept in the next room, has offered to make oath that she heard him laugh, in his peculiar manner, after he had locked his door. The assertion, however, is so improbable, and bears on the face of it such strong evidence of untruth, that it has never obtained credence to this hour. The family of Mr. Kitterbell has considerably increased since the period to which we have referred. He has now two sons and a daughter, and as he expects, at no distant period, to have another addition to his blooming progeny, he is anxious to secure an eligible godfather for the occasion. He is determined, however, to impose upon him two conditions. He must bind himself, by a solemn obligation, not to make any speech after supper, and it is indispensable that he should be in no way connected with the most miserable man in the world. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.